I don't have like an intro or outro for my podcast, so usually just get right into it. Okay, so Bridget Burke, she's a choreographer in the Tri-Cities area. When did you move down here?
So I moved here summer of 2016, I think.
Okay.
But Melita from this studio, she's been having me as a guest choreographer since I think 2012.
Okay. So when did... So was Rachel still teaching here, but she wasn't... How old are you?
I will be 33 at the end of the month.
Okay, so you're like same age as us.
Yeah.
Very cool. So how did you get into dance? Like, when did you start dancing? Because some dancers, like, they start at, like, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. Were you a part of that?
Or? Yeah, so I started at age 3.
Okay.
So I was one of the babies because my older sister, she was also a dancer. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was like, well, let's put the next one in.
Yeah.
So I just kind of followed along with her, and then... have a younger brother and then another younger sister who also was in dance. So we were kind of like a dance
family. Did your
family.
Mom dance?
No, but she said that she always wanted to dance.
Does your sister still do dance stuff?
Not as much. My older sister, she still dances, but she does more like so like more like cardio dance for like working out and stuff, but she still enjoys it.
I feel like in this area anyway, if you go to bigger cities, you would know more than I do. I feel like adults as like, it's like after high school or college, whatever you do, if you don't go into like your path of like choreography, it almost like just gets put on the back burner and they like don't dance. But like, I feel like when you have something like that, that you are like so passionate about, it's always in the back of your mind.
Totally.
And they're probably like, I want to go take a class, and they just never do.
There has been a lot of like people my age that ask me like, do you do any adult classes? Like, I want to get back in, and that's something that I would really like to bring to this area. So I'm hoping I can do an adult class just so we can get, you know, moving. There's actually something that I'm really interested in teaching. I'm kind of in contact with an instructor. I met her from Minnesota, but she's out in LA now, and she teaches this format, this class. It's called Embodied, and it's kind of a mix of Pilates, yoga, and dance.
That's cool.
And so it's kind of like the slogan is get out of your head and into your body.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a way to like let go and like be free and like not think about like the outside world for an hour.
I love that. So, I've had discussions with Rachel. You need to get with her. Yeah. I've had discussions with Rachel about there's this thing that's called, I can't think of the name. It basically, it's like dance fitness, but they basically teach them like a routine. They'll video it. They'll put it on like YouTube, and it's like, this is what we're going to be doing on Thursday, so they can like practice it.
Oh, that's fun.
And then they come in, and then they have this routine, and it's all like adults. Cool. I told Rachel, I said, I feel like that would crush.
Yeah.
If you had just something like that for adults, and even someone like the dance girls would come, like it's an extra day for them to move. And dancing's, I mean, it's why like something like Zumba became so big, because with dancing, like you said, you get out of your head, and it's why yoga is so popular. But you end up exercising, and you don't even realize like how many calories you're burning or how productive it is.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I like love about dance, is that it's such like an escape. Because it's like you're focusing on like the choreography or like what you're doing, and it's almost like your mind like blocks out everything else that's going on, and you're just thinking about that one thing. So I feel like dance is such a good like escape way from life, but then also you're getting exercise and you don't even really realize it.
You don't realize it until the next day when you're sore.
And yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I was dancing a lot.
That always happens. I was actually talking to... Marley. Is Marley at the studio? Was she at the studio that you were at?
Marley Qualls?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Marley Qualls started at this studio, and then she wanted to change, and then she went to Bristol for her last 2 years. And then she just graduated, and I love Marley.
So she came to the gym like 6 months ago or a year ago, and she did a workout, and as she was leaving, she looked at me and said, I will never be back.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was telling her mom like 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know, there's one thing that I appreciate about Marley is that she's a woman of her word.
Honest.
She said she wouldn't be back, and she hasn't been back. And then she came like last week.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her. She said she doesn't really like enjoy working out. Mm-hmm. And she was like, my workout has always been dance. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for people just not to think of dance that way. But whenever you see it, I think it was a big realization for me. I mean, I've seen like videos and all of that, but like seeing like a whole day and whole weekend of competition stuff. I mean, it's like a long, grueling weekend.
Yeah.
and it's like physically demanding, and then you got to be on. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about this idea of like dance versus like basketball or football or anything. And in dance, like you have choreography, and it's not just as easy as just like learning the routine and then like you just know it and then you just do it. There's execution in that every single time, and there's a lot of things that go into it, you know, how'd you sleep, how'd you eat, mm-hmm. like are you dealing with stuff outside of dance, are you like, did you have something bad happen and now it's like in your head? And those things carry across multiple sports. It's like the golfer that had a big shot come up and then he just like shanked it and now he's like scared to hit the ball. Mm-hmm. And then choreography is similar to like basketball plays. Like we would run basketball plays over and over and over and over and over again, and then we would go to the game and then like somehow we'd find a way like fuck it up. Mm-hmm. or it would be like perfect, or there would be like things that happen. And it's not just like we know what we're supposed to do, but the execution is what's hard. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, the plays are perfect. The dances in here, you're probably like, if y'all do it just like that, there's no way you won't win. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, in theory, you could just go and do it, but then there's all those different like nerves and different factors to mm-hmm. it. And that was like a realization that I had whenever I was watching, because I was just like, they've literally done this 1,000 times, and from like a technical standpoint I don't really know what to look for. Mm-hmm. But if I see someone in a routine and they're like off time or something, I'm like, they've practiced that so many times and this happened to be one of the times where they were off,
right?
Or they misstepped, or their brain like lapsed for a second. Or
and then yeah, like also like what you're saying, like with basketball, like you could play. Yeah. So like you could like practice that play like so many times and like have it down perfect, but then it's like the same with dance too. It's like you don't know like what that other team is gonna bring.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, like we could have our routines down like perfectly, and like, you know, we think we're giving them like challenging routines, we think it looks super clean, but we don't know what other teams are going to be right. at the competition. So that's also like a huge factor.
How talented they are,
yeah. how technical trained they are. Mm-hmm. It's like so much goes into that too. It's like that's something that you just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Because you don't know who's going to be there. And that is something that I have found that's been really cool about moving to this area versus Minneapolis. I get to see so many different teams and different styles. Mm-hmm. So that's been something really fun and interesting.
So is dance big in Minneapolis?
It's huge. It's like, okay. Like Minnesota's probably one of like the biggest like dance states in the whole country.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like very like elite level.
Okay. So that's interesting, because this area I feel like is still in like infancy stage. Mm-hmm. Whenever you like think about some of the bigger cities, mm-hmm. you know, just some of the, like we saw one, I don't know if this was one that you were able to make it to or not, but there was, I don't remember where it was, but there was this group that had, they had a couple of really like athletic, talented black girls that were like very, very athletic. Mm-hmm. But they did this like big production. It's whenever I got there. It was unbelievable. I don't know what the time limit was, but they definitely like met the time limit. It felt like it was like a 10-minute production. But it was just unbelievable. And it's like, I was talking to Rachel about that, and I was like, whatever they're doing there, it is so big. Like, yeah. It means so much to every kid,
absolutely.
Every parent. Yeah. Like, there is a huge community embracing this studio mm-hmm. for them to have. I don't remember how many people were on stage. Like, it's hard for me to count, but it had to be like 30, 40
right.
people on stage, and they're just coming in and out. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost like a mini Broadway show.
It is, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, there's like so much being poured into this studio, mm-hmm. obviously.
So, like, that kind of routine, like, that's called a production, mm-hmm. which makes sense because it is, like, a full production
yeah.
of a piece. And, yeah, I think I was at that one, and that was, like, incredible. I love seeing those big, like, huge, like, put-together dances because it's, like, people don't realize, like, when they say, oh, you're a dancer, like, that's cool. But it's, like, a huge commitment, a huge investment. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're not only investing in money, you're investing in a lot of time.
Time and energy, mm-hmm. emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the emotional component mm-hmm. of just like, you know, like you have someone who's in these routines and it's not like, you know, it's very similar to someone who like keeps missing shots in basketball, but they still have to play for their team, but they're mm-hmm. frustrated. It's like, you got to get out of your head. It's like, if you go up and they might do like a solo or something and they mess up their solo, now they're backstage might be like crying or something or upset. And it's like, hey, we got 5 minute, 10 minute turnaround and you got to be up here with like your crew. So like, get your shit together yeah. and let's go. Like you have another thing coming up. And I know that that's got to be hard to like block out because they pay good money, they've practiced hard, they've done all this stuff, and to not execute, you just feel like you've, like, failed yourself. But that's got to be tough, I mean, to be able to block those things out. Do you think that, I've had this discussion with Rachel, do you think that it would be beneficial ever to have, like, wait, so Rachel told me that you, so I speak in broken sentences sometimes, sorry. So you have done like a showcase here before.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it would be beneficial to do something like that in this area?
Mm, definitely.
So I told Rachel that I think it's like a huge, like, it's a market that's not being capitalized on.
Right.
And I can't believe, I mean, it's Johnson City. Johnson City is like growing. There's a lot of stuff here now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that there's not like something here. I was like, I don't know anything about dance, but if I love planning events and I'm like decent at like making experiences fun, like I would love to be a part of that because I feel like they're like, I mean, sometimes I hear about where these like competitions are and I'm like, where the fuck is that?
Yeah, like, where are you like, guys going?
Is that Irwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there should be something in the Tri-Cities. Like, maybe all the Tri-City studios, I mean, the competition's, like, fierce, and, you know, everybody kind of has, like, scarcity mentality, and mm-hmm. I don't want my studio to be around that studio and all that. I mean, that's yeah. how gyms are. That's how yoga studios are. That's how restaurants.
So, like, a few years ago, and I guess, like, kind of we stopped it, like, when COVID hit, because it was just, we weren't able to plan. But I did host a workshop at Meadowview
okay.
at the convention center where I was able to bring in some of my like friends and other teachers from like Minnesota to come and teach.
Maybe I came over there. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was whenever Rachel and I first started like
yeah,
dating.
Yeah, because Rachel, I think she like was able to come and like check it out for a little bit. And you know, I invited like all the studios in the area and like I had a pretty good turnout. We did it for 2 years. It was a lot of fun, but there was that some studio was like, well, I don't want to come and be there and support. And
would you like want to do that again?
Yeah, I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. I just love the dance community and just like, I called it Align because the thought process behind that was like aligning all of the dancers in mm-hmm. the Tri-Cities to come together to this event and just like meet each other and dance together and like learn and grow. And I just have such pure intentions behind it that it yeah. was no like competitiveness. It was just all about having fun and growing and making a cool experience for the dancers in this area.
I think we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I think that is like needed, and I think it could grow in how like because it's not here. Mm-hmm. I think you could grow it as big as you ever wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It's just marketing and getting it out there and. Yeah, we need to talk about the numbers and stuff, how all that worked.
Cause yeah, it was super fun, and it was also, like, fun for me, too, because I was able to bring some of my friends in that I haven't seen yeah. in a while and then get to see them teach. And, like, I like to take other mm-hmm. teachers' classes as well because even though I am an instructor and a teacher, I still feel like I'm learning and I'm growing. So I like to, like, learn and grow as much as I can still. So
that's the interesting thing about, like, what you do, and I mean, I guess it could carry into a lot of professions, mm-hmm. But you have, like, in dance, it's a creative process.
Right.
And creative process is tough. Like, it's hard. Like, going through, I don't know if it's considered writer's block for dancers, but
yeah, choreographer's block. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's a very, very, like, true, real thing. So to keep, like, your inspiration, like, as you age, it gets kind of challenging, but also it's like the dancers that I have really inspire me.
Yeah.
And then also I'm so inspired by music and like, just like musicality, when I can, like, hear a song and I can picture a specific dancer dancing to it. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, like, helps keep me inspired. But apart from that, like, just like with anything else, like, the dance creativeness, it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, we're like, whatever's popular, whatever's trending, like,
it's all, like, every year.
Yeah, it's always, like, different. Like, what's cool, what's new. So you got to be, like, on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So is, like, is that go for all styles of dance? So meaning, I know, like, growing up, I was very big into just, like, rap and hip hop. So
yeah.
I watch all of that. I understand that very well. So, like, I know that hip hop is literally always changing. It's like,
mm-hmm.
it's like what's on TikTok is usually, like, part from, like, hip hop culture and stuff,
right.
Like those dances and stuff. So is every dance like that? Even, like, something like ballet that seems to me to be, like, almost there's this, I don't want to call it, like, old fashioned way of, like, ballet, but it's almost like, it's like classic. I guess it's like a classical. Like,
yeah, 100%. So, like, ballet doesn't really change.
It's like, is what it is.
Ballet, it is what it is.
But it's hard, right?
Very. It's the most challenging style, I would say, in, like, all of dance. But it's, like, your base. Like, you need to have, like, a strong technical ballet, like, base to be able to have your own, like, artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Moving up. So that's, like, what I feel like makes, like, a dancer the best dancer that they can be, is if they have a really strong ballet background and then they're able to put their own creativity and artistry on top of that.
So do you think, I'll say this, I noticed that some girls don't take ballet, like, serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversations with some of them about that. I mean, I train, like, Ella and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty straightforward in conversation and stuff with them. And whenever I have seen certain people dance, and I ask Rachel, because I don't understand it, and I say, that dance that girl just did was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why. I just know that, like, whatever it is, it just looks like she was, like fully expressing herself. It seemed like things were moving slow for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the positions and shapes that she was hitting was, like, very, very good. Like, what is that? And a lot of times Rachel will be like, well, so she's taking a lot of lessons, individual mm-hmm. lessons, and then she's really, really good at ballet.
Right.
And that is, like, how do you, like, I don't know, like, how do you make ballet fun?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like definitely you need to have a really good instructor that can make ballet exciting. And then also, if the dancer has that sense of, like, respect of where ballet comes from and why it's important, mm-hmm. I think that then they'll want to do ballet because they'll see how good it is for you and how it can make you a better dancer. Because some dancers, they're like, oh, I just want to leap and I want to do a ton of turns.
Right.
And I want to, it's like, okay, you want to do all of these things, but you won't be able to do that unless you go to ballet class.
Right.
Because that is how you find the ankle strength, how to hold your core, how to hold your arms. It's like, those are, like, the most strong components in being able to do all of the elite level tricks and turns
yes.
and stuff. So.
It's like wanting to try to do, like, a handstand hold, but you can't do a plank.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you need to work your way up to that.
Yeah. So the history thing is interesting, like knowing where it comes from. So mm-hmm. I think this is the same. I may be conflating here, but this goes back to that same studio that I said was... there was a girl, I think, in that one of those... it had to be like one of the senior girls.
Mm-hmm.
She got up there and they asked her about one of her routines. And she was like, it was like an inspiration or something. And she was like, I really love like this person because, or I really loved this like Broadway show or whatever. And she was like, I grew up like watching videos. Like I study their films. Like I really, really like learn about this thing or this person, whatever it was. I wish Rachel was here because she would remember. And uh-huh. I don't know if you were there whenever she gave that talk. Basically, yeah. She was like, I've watched all these videos. I watch every dance that this person's ever done. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's what I study. And I told Rachel, said, that's why she's so damn good. Like,
yeah.
She literally watches YouTube videos of these professional dancers, and she's trying to figure out, like...
She's, like, fully invested in that and wants to become that.
Yeah. And that is, like, it's just... It's as with anything, it doesn't just happen like that. You know, you can't just say, I want to be a good dancer and then not put in hours and hours and hours of work.
Right.
And people want the trophy at the end, but to get the trophy at the end, a lot of times, like, it sucks to get there, but you got to learn, like, For people that just want the trophy, it sucks. For people that truly love dance, it's so beautiful. Like, they love the hard work. They love, you know,
getting that trophy means more
to
you because of the hard work that you put.
Right.
That kind of reminds me of, like, my personal, like, story with mm-hmm. dance. Like, as a kid growing up, because I, like, I'll be honest, like, as a, like, a kid, like, I was bad. Like, I was not a good dancer. Like, I'll just be honest, like, I remember getting, like, last place at a competition.
They're like, she's struggling.
No, like, I was not good, and, but I loved it. I always loved it, but there was this point, because I went to an arts high school where we were able to, like, our elective classes were dance classes.
Okay.
And so, because I've always loved dance, but so I always had that strong ballet technical background because I grew up with it since I was really young. And I just, like, remember, like, you know, doing so bad at competitions and wanting to compete solos and this and that. And I'm like, so, like, how can I, like, be, like, better? Like, what can I do? And then I remember I was taking hip-hop at school, and we had my dance teacher, his name was Dancing Dave. It was like pop and locker like style. And I really like enjoyed learning like that old school hip hop mm-hmm. with like the popping and the locking and the robotics
and
like the tutting. And I was like, this is like really cool. And then he was telling me like, you have really sharp, like clean, like angles. And so I was like, okay, so maybe this is something I could get
something
into.
To run with. Yeah.
So I like watched like so many tutting videos. I spent hours just like, you know, like freezing and like making all of these like shapes and poses. And then I took my like strong, like technical background, and then I mixed it with hip hop, and then I started kind of making my own like contemporary style between the two, where I was like using my like musicality but with, you know, like legs and leaps and stuff, where then I was like, okay, like I think I can actually, like, this is what my body looks good doing
mm-hmm.
and it's different. And then I finally started doing well at competitions my junior and senior year.
That's awesome.
And then I was like done. But I think because I found who I was in an artist so late in my like childhood dance career is like the reason why I'm a choreographer now.
Right.
Because I found how much that I really, really love and what I was good at. And then I took those things and then I put them on other people and made choreography out of finding my own style.
So you get done with like high school, then there's mm-hmm. like, you can go to college. So there's two paths in college, right?
Yeah.
There's the dance team,
mm-hmm.
and then there's like a dance program in
right.
school. And then you can, either one of those paths, like you can go and do like professional dancing.
Mm-hmm.
What does professional dancing look like? Is that just like getting signed on to a tour or like
shows? Professional dancing, you can take it in so many ways. You can be like audition for a company, which, you know, I think the company process, you're like taking class every single day and then you're like rehearsing and then you're possibly going like on tour with this company. So there's ballet company, contemporary company, whatever. And then dance team, you know, that's a very different style.
Yes.
You know, that's a lot of like skill base, I think more. And then if you wanted to go like the commercial route, you would audition, be signed on with a talent agency, and then you could possibly, yeah, get booked for like a backup.
And they try to find new jobs or something like
commercials
that.
Commercials or, yeah, whatever.
And then the studio owner and choreographer. And so what does your creative process look like? Like, we're done. So dance is crazy because every year you have to come up with something new.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's a huge turnover. It's similar to like a music artist. It's like once the album's out, like you can go tour that album and then like what's next? You're just going to be like turn into the Yin Yang Twins and like that's all you do for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, so as a choreographer, you have to, I'm sure there's some like being able to like recycle like songs like down the road and stuff like that. But from like in here, you know, you're gonna have new people that wanna do solos. So that's a whole new thing. You have girls that have left, you have girls that are coming in or moving up or whatever. So like, I guess now's a good time. Like, what are you doing from now and drawing inspiration from? Are you just, do you just listen to a lot of music? You watch a lot of dances? Like, what do you do from now until, like, if you know somebody's going to come to you in 2 or 3 months and start asking you for one-on-one stuff, maybe you've already started some of that stuff, but what does that creative process like look like for you?
When it comes to a soloist, I like really pride myself on making that very customized towards that specific dancer. So I always say like if they're like struggling, like this isn't my solo, like this is your solo. So when you're like working with me personally, I really, really try to make sure that it is perfect for that dancer, because that's gonna help them like find their own artistry. Like I was talking about for myself, like how I found that late in life. I like to try to reflect what I did onto other dancers, because I feel like when they find out who they are, that's gonna make them first of all love it more and succeed more and just feel more confident in their own skin. So I like to do like some improv, so just so I can see like how they like to move.
Yeah.
And then kind of like take what I see from them, and then I'll like listen to songs and like try to like just like kind of picture what I could see them dancing to.
That's really cool. So you don't try to just fit like what you do on someone, you try to take what they're good at and then really pull out what they're already good at.
Exactly. And then, of course, you know, I try to teach them some new things that they can be excited about. And really want to get. But I never, like, try to, like, say, like, I want you to look exactly like me, or I want you to look exactly like her.
Right.
Like, I want you to look exactly like you.
Yes.
And that is, like, the truest and best form of a dancer that you can be.
So there's, like, a... there's like a discovery period, basically. How long until, because I guess there's like a thing in dance that you all call cleaning the dance, which I guess means just making it more technically proficient. So from like discovery to like, okay, you have the full dance, now you just gotta like practice the hell out of it. Like how long does that usually take? Is that like pretty quick for you?
Like after the choreography's done?
Just after like the discovery period. Like you say today you have someone come in and I don't know how many sessions, like let's say you do like two times where you're going through and trying to find music and you're watching them dance and stuff. Like how long does it take until the choreography's finished?
Okay, so that can really vary.
Yeah, and like, it can probably change all the way up until like...
Yeah, totally. So like when I go out to like other studios and do guest choreography, it's hard because they'll be like, okay, you got 3 hours.
Right. There's a time constraint. Yeah. You're like, all right, like, well, let's see what y'all can do real quick.
Yeah. And I like, you know, like, but I like do my best to choreograph, you know, this dance for them from start to finish, but I leave knowing that they're going to make changes.
Right.
And is that just like, it's like, and I would never get offended. Like, it's like, okay, I literally choreographed this whole dance in 3 hours. Right. Like, I know there's going to be changes made, and they're going to clean it. They're going to work on it. And I just like, that's so different. But then when I'm at one of my home studios and I have a longer time to
develop,
develop it and choreograph it. Either it can go really fast, I'm really loving it, or I'm going to be like, this isn't working, let's start over.
Because
I have that, but it's like, when I'm guest, you know, choreographing, you don't really have that time to even second guess it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do
it.
But then when you're like, when I'm here at, you know, whatever my home studio is, then I can be like, maybe I want to do something else. I was like, maybe not. Maybe I'll just see how it goes. But I guess like the typical time that it'll take me to like choreograph like a dance and like take my time on it would be around like 8 hours.
Okay. And then after that, they just have to start putting in time. And
then we'll clean it, and that's when the counting comes in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hit on? 1, 2. It's like slowly going through it.
Okay, so my favorite dance this year was Time of the Season.
Oh, yeah.
I actually ended up adding that to like a playlist at the gym.
Such
like
a fun song.
Cool. Yeah. It's that to me. So I guess, is that jazz?
So that one was jazz. Yeah.
So Rachel was telling me that was, cause we went to all the Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that was Chicago maybe is mm-hmm. jazz. So Rachel was like, cause I was like, I kept on talking about that dance that you did with them, and Rachel's like, okay, I want you to watch this. Like, this is like classic jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, she was like, that one that Bridget did was like very, very classic. And it was like, there wasn't a lot of like show. It was just like, it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I loved it, because it was so smooth and like there's dances and there's dancers like that things can feel rushed and it's, you know, you're rushing to get to this time stamp or whatever, like you're trying to stay on beat and all this. Well, that one, while I'm sure it's extremely difficult dance and I'm sure y'all spent mm-hmm. so much time on it, it just was so smooth and laid back and effortless. And like when you watch it, it's like such a satisfying thing to watch, because it just looks like they made it look so easy and effortless. I felt like I could have got up there and done it, but I know that it's like way harder
than
that.
It's like an insert clip.
Right,
They're doing the dance.
Well, it's like whenever you watch, like Michael Jackson, he just makes it look so easy and you're like, oh, I can moonwalk. Like, what do you mean? And then you're like, oh.
So that was kind of the style that I was going for that dance. Cause like we were saying, like what's like trending or what's new up to date. I kind of like brought like an old school back.
And it's good to go against the grain.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something different. And what I really love though about that dance just in general, which nobody would know this unless I was saying it, I didn't really know when I came in to choreograph that dance like what I was gonna do. And I gave the dancers like 3 different songs, like a super sassy, outgoing, like crazy fun one.
Oh, really?
I gave them Time of the Season and then like one other one that was maybe a little more like hip hop sounding, but they took a vote and they picked it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The dancers picked it. They thought it was cool and they liked the idea. They thought it was different and they were like, yeah, we want to do this one. So I was like, okay, let's do it.
That is so cool.
So it was kind of a collective, you know, between the dancers that they picked it.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was really fun.
But it's that, right? It's the good, I feel like the good pieces and the good dancers and stuff can make things look like effortless.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year for me has been like, I've like followed the dance stuff with Rachel and stuff, but this year was like a big year for me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause one, we did go see all the Broadway shows. Like I've never ever liked tap. Like I just told mm-hmm. Rachel, I don't understand it, you know, I don't. And then we went to like Riverdance, which is different.
Oh yeah.
But I was like, holy shit. Out of all the Broadway shows, Riverdance was my favorite.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It was unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. And then seeing like Chicago and that style and just how like good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And how much time is obviously put into that. And you can see that. Whenever you have like the age group that you are dealing with, what's the youngest age group here?
I guess they're about 5.
Okay.
For competition.
So probably from like 5 to like 13, you can have like a talent gap. Mm-hmm. Like there's kids that they have it, and there's some that don't. Mm-hmm. But the ones that don't, if they work hard, like they'll get it. Mm-hmm. Whenever you get, because it's like this in sports, once you get into like high school and then college and then professional, there's like this, that gap of like talent and work hard like closes real fast.
Yeah.
Because there's people like you, whenever you were younger, it's like you have a talented person who was like probably better than you for some years, and then you close that gap real quick, and now like the pressure's on, and it's like, well, you just didn't like work as hard as Bridget. So now like she's got this, this, and this.
I mean, I will say like, yeah, like I worked really, really hard.
Right. So do you think that like how do you have like a discussion with, because I talk to like my athletes about that. Mm-hmm. How do you like get that message to those like kids about like working hard? I guess specifically I'm kind of picking on the ones that like won't come to ballet, or they mm-hmm. like won't do these things, and I'm sure it's like existent, because it's existent in my baseball players, basketball players, I'm sure it's existent at every single studio across the world. Mm-hmm. Like how do you get like the work hard into the girls, and then I guess some girls you just, and guys like you just won't, because they just don't want it bad enough?
Right. Well, I feel like a lot has changed since when I was a kid, because like you say, like how to get kids to come to ballet, we didn't have a choice.
Right.
Like if you didn't come to ballet, like then you're kicked out.
Right.
Basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of like how it was for me. Like you just had to come. But the kids now, it's like I do try to like express like how important it is mm-hmm. to show up. Because it's not only for yourself, it's also for your team.
Right.
Because I think that's a really quick way to not feel comfortable in your own studios if you're not showing up to class. And then, because if your peers see you there working hard, see you there and you're working hard, then they're going to have more of a connection with you.
More respect.
Because they're going to have more respect, and then they're going to want to push themselves. So I feel like if you have a committed team of everybody coming and everybody working hard, you're gonna get along better mm-hmm. and you're gonna excel, and it's gonna just be like more fun.
Yeah, you're gonna enjoy it a lot more if
yeah.
you show up.
So I feel like now that's kind of where that can come from, is just being with your team.
Mm-hmm. What's the furthest you've been into like a choreography piece and like scrapped it? Have you been like pretty far in there?
Maybe about like halfway.
Okay. Is that frustrating?
Yeah. But then, like, I guess this past season, I don't know if you saw, like, my junior dance. Mm-hmm. They did the cave. It was
okay.
For the studio. They had, like, the suspenders and, like, the dirt, and they were young, and they were, like, killing it. I started them with a really beautiful dance, and I, like, actually loved it. I just kind of, like, felt like it wasn't like competitive enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, I just want to give them something like a little bit faster and like whatever. And we did the previous week, we did that song that I wanted to use just like as a combo in class. And they did it so well that I was like, oh, I just feel like this would be better for their competition routine.
Yeah.
And then when I came back and like kind of told them that, they were like, they like already knew.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, yeah, okay. We kind of figured that you wanted to do that. But then the dance that I already started with them, I ended up finishing it, and they were able to perform it at the recital.
Okay.
So we didn't have to fully scrap it. They were able to perform it.
So I had never seen that, and that's what I, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because whenever, I guess, where I was standing,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't really see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching one of the girls, and I was like, oh my God, like she has something on her face. I was like, I was watching her, and I was like,
yeah.
She doesn't know she messed up her makeup.
Oh my God.
And then they all like turned towards me, and I was like,
they all have messed up makeup on.
Like my heart dropped. I was like, she doesn't know.
That's cute. Oh, looking out.
I really like, I think that your style is really distinct. And it's been cool to see, because I guess I've been going to some of these dance things for about 4 or 5 years. There's like certain ones, like I could never like describe them if I saw a video, but I can think of one from like 3 or 4 years ago where there's like, I don't know, but there's these like visuals that will stand out about certain dances. I think Time of the Season will be one of those. Whenever I look at like the style that you do, so there's contemporary, is that kind of like?
That's kind of like my main style that I choreograph, yeah.
It's really, really interesting. I think that what I love about it is like how much like emotion you can draw out and how much like emotion it can invoke in someone that's like watching, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I sit there and I watch the Broadway show and I'm like, and then I remember whenever I first started going to some of y'all's stuff and even some of the competitions, whenever I first see the dance, like just getting like chills, you know, yeah. Whenever you're watching stuff.
Special.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to see that. I guess like moving forward in this, what does it look like for you? I guess like what, do you have like, as a choreographer, like do you have like goals for yourself and things that you're aspiring to do?
Absolutely. I mean, like one of my biggest goals always is to just keep on growing in whatever dances I did the previous season, try to make them better the next mm-hmm. season. You know, definitely thought about possibly owning my own studio someday. Mm-hmm. And because I just got my yoga certification, I was like thinking maybe sometime in the future I could possibly own like a yoga/dance studio, which
cool.
I think would be really cool. Mm-hmm. So that's a goal that I have. And, you know, I'm also a mom, so it's like...
It's a lot.
Yeah. We've got to balance, you know, like the mom and the studio life. But one of my like goals like that I had that I basically achieved was I was like, I just want to be a dance teacher and like live in like a small town and just like be happy.
Yeah.
And I feel like
I'm
doing
that. And you found
that. Yeah.
Do you... What was the point? Were you ever like doing choreography and then also like working another job?
Yeah. So right out of high school, I went to cosmetology school and I got my certification to be a hairstylist. And so I was working at a salon as well as teaching dance. And the salon atmosphere was just kind of like a lot.
It can be like.
Yeah. I was like, I just don't know like if this is really like right for me. And I just like really enjoyed like teaching kids dance more than I liked working at a salon, but I still do like some like freelance like hair and makeup
cool.
jobs too. Like I love like styling hair for like weddings and proms,
mm-hmm.
and so I still have that, but it's just not as like full time as it was when I was teaching dance as well.
Whenever you went full choreographer, like mm-hmm. it's you essentially are. I mean, you're working for yourself. You may go like studios and work for them.
Mm-hmm.
How scary is that, right? So and the stability and like you think mm-hmm. about those things, and it's so interesting, you know. That's your job. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's really cool. You know, like Rachel quit her job and she does
yeah.
dance, and it's do you have moments where you're just kind of like, this is crazy?
Yeah, and like I definitely feel like when you have that feeling like I can't believe I'm like doing this, that kind of you need to like change it and be like you got to keep going though, because that is like the only way to like be successful. I think the more you do it, the longer period you do it,
mm-hmm.
then that's how you'll like get more jobs and like more respect.
Yes.
And be like, she's been doing this for so many years, she knows what
you
she's
just
doing.
Keep going.
It's like that confidence I feel like you have to continue with being a dance instructor and a choreographer.
Have you found yourself, because I'm someone, I say like, I admit a lot of times when I don't know stuff, I probably say like, I don't know, like today, like I'm ignorant on the dance topic.
Yeah,
do you find yourself, have you like found yourself like insecure about, because you are a confident person, and we all have insecurities. Even myself in the gym
mm-hmm.
has insecurities. Like, do you find yourself like insecure sometimes at times about like a dance thing or like something that's going on? Isn't
oh, yeah.
that interesting?
Absolutely, all the time.
Yeah, like.
There's never like not a day that I don't feel
right.
like that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because you just do it for years and years and years and like you still have to like quiet that thing in your brain that's like telling you you're not good enough or.
Well, and especially for the kids, because if you're feeling insecure about the routine, like how are they gonna feel about
it?
So it's like you need to be like, this is awesome. Like you guys got the, you know, like you have to have that confidence for them, because then they'll put that into their bodies and they'll be confident in the routine.
And then sometimes it'll grow. Hard. And then everyone grows confidence at the same time. I was talking to someone that is a dancer at college, and the resources, it's sad. And I want to help. I don't know what I can do. I've been racking my brain about it. I don't understand how dance isn't seen as a sport because, you know, like the NCAA doesn't even recognize dance. And I was explaining to this collegiate dancer, I was like, well, you know, at a basketball game, like you probably don't get any percentage of the ticket sales. Like they might, but it might be like 1% or less than 1%. It's probably like a crazy amount. Cheerleaders probably get like a small percent, maybe. But it's funny because the way they see it is, at least like the old people, the way that they would see it is, well, okay, so we have a basketball game. We're going to watch this basketball game. And we're here to watch this sport called basketball. And then we also have entertainment at halftime that is a dancer or a mascot or somebody throwing a half court shot. So if you want me to call you as a dancer and athlete, then now I have to call like Joe Blow from the stands who's coming down and running down and back on the half court and shooting a half court shot. Now he's an athlete because he's entertainment at halftime. That stance, like, isn't, or now the mascot's an athlete and he should, you know, and there's very talented mascots. Where, and I said, okay, so that argument, while I think it's still flawed, like, you can make that argument, fine. But whenever you have these girls traveling, wherever they're traveling to nationals and all this, and they're like literally competing at this big event, okay, now they're athletes. You have, like, we live in a world where ESPN plays pool on TV, where ESPN plays gaming on TV. And we struggle with the concept of a dancer who can do all these turns, backflips, all these different things in the matter of minutes. They just did this crazy thing that 90% of the, probably more than 90% of the population cannot even think about doing. Even some of your athletes cannot do these things, and we struggle identifying them as athletic people and athletes.
Yeah.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like because there is like so much like artistry in like the dance platform that people look at it as a hobby, when it's like, it's much more than that.
It's so much more.
It's like, and nowadays, like we're talking about like things are trending, like it is really trendy to have a lot of athletic cool tricks in your routine. Like that, like really something that helps you stand out. So now a lot of our dancers like take extra tumbling classes. They're trying to get all these like back walkovers, back flips, you know, like extensions. It's like that is something that like helps you get like more points in dance. And so it's like, yeah, dance is 100% a sport.
Yes.
And it should be recognized as that. It's like gymnasts go to the Olympics. Like how cool would it be if there was like a dance Olympics?
Right. Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you look at like, so I guess in cheer, there's like, maybe they call it worlds or something that. And I mean, that's huge. It's different. Yeah, I get it. It's different. But you know what else is different? Like golf was different for a while, you know? And now it's like everywhere. And there's the dancers that I've seen, high school dancers that I've seen are just as athletic. They're more athletic than probably 99% of the high school golfers in this area. I can already think of five, every senior that just graduated is probably more athletic than that. And then like you have like collegiate level dancers or some high school dancers. I mean, they're just as athletic as professional golfers in a lot of ways. Now, there's a lot of very athletic professional golfers now, but, you know, just what's going on in dance, it's just not, like, seen. You know, I went to acro and tumbling at King and watched that, and I think that they struggle identifying that sometimes as a sport and giving, because I knew the coach at the time, they struggle giving them funding, and you go and watch it, and it's like, whoa, this is, like, a thing. Like, I can't believe that I'm like, watching this right now. Like,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So I think that I have a lot of ideas on how this particular college could create some funding. I don't know how, you know, I don't know what powers that be and systems in place and all that. I've never dealt with anything like that. But it's tough because you hear about a lot of college dancers. They have to, like, buy their own stuff. They buy their own food. They got to pay their own gas. They got to do this. They got to do that. Meanwhile, like, not necessarily this college, but it's like your basketball team sucks. Like, you know, and it's like you pour all this into them, or your football team sucks and you pour all this all into them. But, like, you have, like, these really talented dancers that they reached all these accolades, and now they come, like, you want them at your games, but, like, you're telling them that their trophy is their uniform that they've had for 10 years,
right,
and, like, that's all they get. It's interesting. Well, so you are at, you do, in this area, choreography at this studio, and then
at
up Bristol, in Bristol.
Yep.
Who owns Bristol?
Christy Curtin.
Okay. Well, shout out to them and
Melita. They're awesome. I love the studio owners, and I have so much respect for both of them. They, like, have grown their businesses in such a, like, positive and kind and just great way, and I just feel so, like, lucky and blessed that they were able to take me in as an instructor here. So
was it, like, a crazy moment when you, like, were like, all right, I'm moving to Tennessee?
Yeah, well, I, like, because, see, so what I did was I, you know, graduated high school, and then I was working at a salon in Minnesota for a little bit as I was teaching there, and then I wanted something different, so I moved to New Jersey, like, New York area.
Oh, okay.
So
did you do any kind of dance stuff there?
Yeah, I did. I took a lot of classes. I was in, like, one music video. It was really fun. And then I also worked at a salon, and then, but then I was just kind of like, okay, I've been here for 2 years. Like, this is, like, a lot. Like, so then I went to Michigan, where my sister lives, and she's a wedding planner, so I was planning weddings with her for the summer.
I remember you put something on a story.
Yeah.
It was really pretty.
Super
fun.
She's
good at it.
Yeah, she's great at it. And then, like, from there, I was like, well, I was like, what, like, where's my next step? And I was like, I could move back to Minnesota. And I was like, or maybe I could call Melita, who owns a studio in Tennessee, and see if she's looking for, you know, new instructors.
That's crazy.
I just called her, and I was like, hey, I was just like, I'm kind of thinking about, you know, moving somewhere new. I was wondering if you were looking for any instructors. And she was like, well, we'd love to have you.
That's
so
crazy.
So that's why I just, you know, I kind of had a job lined up and was
able
to move.
I wanted to ask you, how big is it for a choreographer to take class?
I think it's really important just for your inspiration, to stay driven, to learn. I feel like it's important for, like, any teacher in any field to take classes and learn from
Correct.
Other.
We're big on that.
Yeah.
We even, like, take our staff to, like, once a year we have a market research trip. It's like a retreat, but we go, we hang out for the weekend, and then we go to as many gyms as possible. So we learn, like, what we love and what we don't love. We learn what it's like to be new. So we'll go to, like this past year we went to a place called Rock Box. It's like a boxing gym.
Cool.
And we were all just, like, very, like, insecure and, like, what are we doing, because we had no idea. So it was, like, really good for us because we were like, I forgot what it was like to be new.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of chaotic for a second.
It's
like
a humbling experience.
Yeah. So then whenever you have someone new, like, you can be like, okay, well, like, if people feel this way whenever they come into ours, how do we help lower that barrier and make them feel at home? And and then just the inspiration of seeing, like, instructors who are better than you, instructors that aren't as good as you, and why, how they run the business, and, you know, how studios are laid out, and, you know, just different different things like that. I feel like that's a part of like the creativity piece, mm-hmm. That is like huge. And I think with what you do, if you're not going and seeing different things, then it can probably like stifle you.
Right.
Rachel and I find that because we have to, it's totally different, but we have to write workouts for a gym. We write a mm-hmm. ton of workouts, especially for like our main class. There's a creativity piece in there because of the way that we have the room flow. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of structure of like, this is how these workouts are done. That's like the technique. The mm-hmm. technique will be technique. Mm-hmm. But then you have to take the technique and you have to make it beautiful. Yeah. So then we want people to come into our gym if it's new and they can kind of see how things are moving. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this beautiful organic thing that's happening in the gym. So there's a creativity piece to that. And we always find that like our creativity in that space is always better after like a vacation or after we've been to like another gym mm. or we've been going to like yoga classes or just something.
Right.
And then something to finish on is, how important do you think it is? This might be like controversial. How important do you think it is for dancers to take classes at other studios when they're traveling?
Oh my gosh, I think it's awesome. I really, really like believe that the more teachers you learn from and the more classes you take, the better you'll be.
Yes.
I really, really believe that. So I think it's really, really important for kids to take private lessons from as many teachers as they can, to go to studios to take classes, take as many conventions as you want. I mean, I think go for it.
Yeah. So that's something, I think last year whenever the dance girls were in, like I was telling them about how we go to gyms and I was like, whenever y'all travel, like you need to find, like if you go to Atlanta, like ask Bridget, ask someone mm-hmm. at the studio what the best studio is in Atlanta mm-hmm. and go there and just like experience that.
Yeah.
And I said, you're probably going to see a dancer that's more talented than you've ever seen. You may do routines that are harder. Something that Rachel and I talked about is like, whenever there's not a lot of exposure, and then it probably makes it hard for like certain choreographers to teach. Like if you went somewhere to a studio that's like, they might be, I'll say it. So like different studios are like different talent levels. It's just what it is. So you may go and teach at a studio that the talent level isn't there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying. But it makes it harder because they can't pick it up. Mm-hmm. So there's been instances where Rachel's like, yeah, like I remember like when this person came in or these people went and took a class here, whatever, like they couldn't pick it up because, or it was like really, really hard for them to learn this combo or like it really, really challenged them because they only always do this thing. And so I think that that right there speaks volumes to like exposing yourself. Because mm-hmm. if you travel, like every kid goes to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a dance studio in like somewhere around Myrtle Beach, somewhere in Florida. Like there's dance studios everywhere.
Right.
Like why not just go? You may actually end up running into a studio that you saw at like a competition or something, and they'd be happy to have you.
Yeah.
But just go like take a class, see if you can drop in. And I think that those exposures, then it allows you, I feel like, to pick up dances. I think that the dancer that I spoke about earlier about these beautiful positions and asking Rachel, from my understanding, this dancer has trained with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her like learning process is, but I'd say that she probably picks things up quicker than a lot of people because she's had all this exposure to different things. And that's just so interesting to me because there's not a lot of like value. I told Rachel the dance like market is crazy to me because there's not a lot of podcasts. There's not a lot of like YouTube videos of like, okay, if you want to be able to do like this turn, like at least in this area, that you want to do this turn, like here's three things you can work on. And it's just like a YouTube video or even like an Instagram video. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much to capitalize on there and to be able to help these dancers. And I think that is one that isn't talked about enough, is like exposure. If you want to go to the next level, you want to go dance on these like tours or dance company, all that. Like, you can't tell me that these people that are in, like, you know, on Beyonce's tour, that they were just like, I just went to one studio my whole life and never went anywhere else. It's like, no, absolutely, like, I've been to like 70 studios.
Yeah.
I've been under like 150 choreography. Like,
I've done 200 auditions and didn't get one. It's that's like what it is. Training, taking classes. I think what you guys are doing at your gym is awesome. The strength training for dancers, because that's really important.
That's huge.
And it's like really cool that you guys were able to bring that to this area.
Yeah, especially from like injury prevention.
Oh, yeah.
And then hopefully like the dancers that come, they'll see, you know, like jumping is easier. And even like strength. So whenever I first started training Ella, I was asking her about like, you know, how do you get your split, because everyone in dance, and she was like, we just sit in splits. And I was like, okay, like, I understand that, but like, we also need to like strengthen that range. So you need to strengthen your hip flexors so that whenever you go to jump, like, you can actually hold the position versus just like.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many dancers that like are like so flexible, and like, if they can like bring their head or their leg all the way up to their head, but their leap, it's not even there because they don't have the strength to be able to get it up there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where yoga's good too, because there's a lot of like hip flexor strength and core strength and all that in there. So I think that there's, a lot of pieces, specifically with Studio One, and because you're a part of Bristol, they have that those resources too. I think there's a lot of like good things here, and I think they have the kids are fortunate to have like the resources around them, but then it's also up to the kids. And then it's also up to the parents to like hold their feet to the fire. You know, I know that, I can't speak for like what was going on, but I know that like, whenever I talk to like April Fletcher, she's like, Kaylee better be there. Like, she better be there. I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
Better be in class.
I love April and
Let
Kaylee.
Me know if she's not.
They're awesome. Yeah.
You know? And like, I think that like the parents have to be like that. Like, if
and, you know, Kaylee just graduated, but she came to class yesterday.
Right.
Just to grow,
she
to help.
She wants it.
She wants it. Yeah.
She wants it.
It was awesome. I was
and,
excited
and
to
that,
see her.
That's like a difference. Actually, I'm going to end up like posting this thing, because I think that whenever you come off of a season, it's funny because school ended, dance season ended, all these sports ended, and we're in the summer. And everyone comes off of season and they're on a high.
Yeah.
I want to work hard. I want to do this next year. I want to be able to dunk. I want to be able to do this turn. I want to be able to do this. And then the summer's here and I'm going to bust my ass this summer.
Summer dance is the best growing period.
Yes.
It's and then, so fun too.
And then you have like the group that works hard, and then you have the group that say they want it, and then they don't work hard.
It's like, who's showing up?
Right, and I got this post that's going to be like, it's basically going to be like, hey, like, summer's halfway over.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? Like, you talk that shit. Whenever I started my strength class, 14 and up, I literally looked at the kids and I said, y'all talk that shit at the end of the school year. I said, we're here now. We'll see if you really want that shit.
Yeah, like, for real.
Because everybody can talk about what they want, but who's willing to put in the work?
Who's doing it, yeah.
Right.
Totally.
So that's the whole thing is it, everything always comes down to work. Like, hard work outworks talent every time.
Right, and it's like not only like the dancers putting in the work, it's the teachers too. Like,
you got to get in there.
The reason, like, one of the reasons why I wanted to get certified in teaching yoga is because I knew that would help me also with dance. And I really feel like going through all of that training that I did this past year has turned me into just a better instructor in general. Like,
even just knowing how the body moves, it's like, oh, I learned this.
Knowing about the muscles and knowing how to like speak with such clarity, it's just really, really has
and helped be able me. To like help them understand better.
That's so cool.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I think we'll have to do one again. I think that like maybe like after this year.
Yeah. And then we can or do maybe like a recap.
Yeah, do a recap.
See how it's going.
That'd be really
cool. That'd be fun.
And then I also think that like